everybody. Welcome to Synergy Workplace Investigations Podcast. I'm Natalie Thomason, Director of the company, and I'm here with my co-director, Glenn Thomason, and some fantastic small business owners, Liz and AJ, who run a Queensland company, primarily focused on first aid and safety-based courses. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming to join us today.
Our absolute pleasure.
So, the reason that we're talking to Liz and AJ is that their business is really successful, but being a small business, like many small business owners, they are dealing with, you know, multiple roles within the company. And one of those roles is managing staff, and that's why we're chatting to you guys today, isn't it? Because you have a lot of really interesting information to impart about how you've dealt with managing staff over the years, recruitment and management once they've been onboarded. So I guess we'll start with, you know, can you think of, you know, what the biggest difficulties you would face as a small business owner when it comes to staff?
Mainly the biggest issue we have is trying to get the right person for the right job. And previously what we've done in the past many years ago was we would ask the standard interview questions like, you know, sort of, why do you think you would be right for this role? What sort of experience do you have? And those sorts of things. And what we've found is that you can't teach personality. You can teach pretty much anybody anything, but you can't teach personality. So we figured out we were hiring for the wrong things. And we were, as a result, getting people that wouldn't fit in with the culture, and we would have to let them go and hire somebody else. And it was just a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah, we found that, like, they would come and everything would be great for a while, but once they started to relax into that role, then their real personality came out, and that was just a big conflict with our culture. So.
Yeah, and what sort of problems were caused by that in terms of personality?
I guess the biggest thing with small businesses, especially as you start to get more people, is to make sure that all of those personalities fit together. And when there is one conflict or one friction, that then becomes very tension, it brings everybody down. So you have that, you just walk into the room and you have this feeling of not a great feeling, and that brings everybody down. So it does definitely affect not just those people that are possibly having a friction, but it affects everybody.
Yeah, and of course then it affects productivity because people aren't happy.
Yes.
Exactly.
You don't want anybody walking into the office going, oh no, so-and-so's working today, that's going to make things really hard. So we want everybody to be able to work together and talk and laugh and have fun.
Yeah, because you also have quite an open plan office space, so this is very common in many workplaces. So if there is a tension in the air, it's something that people can't escape, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when we don't have cubicles, we just got an open plan, as you said, so you really can't hide from that tension if it's there. It does just permeate through the whole office, so it does make it hard to deal with, but fortunately we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, so tell me, how have you gone about sort of solving that issue?
So we have done a lot of research on interviewing questions and what particular questions will reveal a part of that person's personality or how they might deal with a situation, to see whether that personality would fit. So some of the research we've done is reading posts from Google and from Elon Musk, just to see what they do, because Google and a lot of other big startup companies have very interesting interviewing practices. So we have fine-tuned our interviewing questions quite a bit, but most recently we started doing a speed dating interview.
Speed dating, that sounds fantastic. I haven't heard of that as an interview technique.
Yes, but there is no dating, just to clarify. So we were able to look at more applicants than we would just with using our standard procedure. So we took, over the 2 days, I think we took around 75 applicants, and we had three tables set up. So they would each sit at each table and then they would rotate. So they had five questions at each table and then they would move to the next one, and then we set up those questions so everybody could get the same kind of, they used the same scoring, so it was even across the board. And it just gave us that opportunity to look at more people and, you know, sort of go from there. I think statistically, you know whether that either the applicant or yourself as the business owner or manager are going to like that person within the first couple of minutes. So if you look at a traditional interview, they're usually there for half an hour. You guys, both parties, know within the first 5 to 10 minutes. So if you don't
sometimes
like them,
within the first 3 minutes, and you're doing another 27 minutes worth of interview that's completely wasted, because
yes,
you know you're not going to hire that person.
Yep.
So the advantage of these ones is that within the first few minutes, you can either continue taking notes on any of the questions you've asked, or you can just write a dirty great no and underline it 3 times underneath the person's name and pass them off to the next person, see if they get a different perspective. So between the three of us, the three managers in the business, we'd very quickly get an accurate idea of whether we think the person would work for the business or not.
So how does that information then get collated after the process?
So usually after we took 3 people in at one time, we would then sit and just have a quick debrief and say, okay, we liked this person, we thought this about this person, and there was a scoring system, so we put a weighting on some questions that they had. There was only 3 answers, so we just put a scoring on that, and then we would take people over a certain amount or people that really wowed us in the speed dating into a first interview, which is just a face-to-face, and then following that we would then reduce that down to a second interview, and that's where we have our questions that are not normal interviewing questions.
Yes, very much personality-based questions to see if the person can think on their feet. So none of the questions like, why do you think you would work for this business, or what's your experience, or all of those sorts of things. Odd questions like, if you could meet anybody alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Okay.
Or we also have another one, if they don't have a good answer for that or they don't want to answer that question, we have, what event would you like to see, past, present or future? Which gives an interesting perspective of where they want to, what they would like to see or who they would like to meet, and sort of gives a little bit of an insight into who they are as a person. So.
Yeah, I mean, how did you sort of have a matrix or something of how to work out which answers you were looking for and which answers you weren't, or were you more just going with your gut instinct as far as that was concerned?
A lot of the times it was interesting in that some of the people that got to that second interview, just before you would ask the question, they would pause significantly before the answer. It basically looked like they were trying to give you the answer you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You can very quickly work out, right, these are not the people that they want. They're searching for an answer, which means it's not a truthful answer. So yeah, you'd very quickly work out which people were legitimate about their responses, because they would be able to give you an answer almost straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who really had to think about it or couldn't give you an answer probably wouldn't be people that would necessarily work in the business, because in the role that they're in, anywhere in the business, they need to be able to think quickly and need to be able to think on their feet.
So not necessarily even the nature of their answer, it's the way that they answer the question that you were looking at.
But sometimes the nature of the answer does give you an idea about the person. For example, one of the questions we have is, if you had a superpower, what could it be? And some of the answers you get are relatively enlightening. They'll let you know a little bit about into the core personality of the person.
I guess on that, if you do ask that question and someone says they want to be invisible, well, there is a reason why for that. And if you go and do the research, there are plenty of different sort of answers they give you as to what that might show you.
Might signify.
Yeah. So, but it's not just on a scoring system. It's very your own gut feeling and how they answer and what they answer, and all of that kind of comes into one to get the people that we have. So
okay,
so before we go any further then, what is your superpower?
Well, I'm a massive fan of Nightcrawler from the X-Men, so I'd love to be able to teleport. I think that would be amazing.
And he answered that really quickly. He wasn't just trying to give
it wasn't
us the
hesitating
answer we wanted.
No, I was prepared for this. Yeah.
Mine would be to fly. I would love to fly.
Me too.
Yeah, flying would be cool.
That would be amazing.
But it's interesting how many people ask that in interviews. I think sometimes it's to give themselves more time to think of their own answer, but they put it back on you and they say, well, do you know, what would you answer for all of the questions? Mm. So they put it in kind of as a stalling mechanism.
Yeah, time wasting.
Yeah.
But it is really interesting. So some of the questions that we have before I start, I'm like, okay, I know all my answers to these questions just in case. Because kind of feel that if we couldn't answer the questions that we are asking, is it fair for us to ask those of somebody else? So.
That's really fair. Yeah,
I've just been thinking a little bit more, actually. We've been watching a lot of The Flash on the TV. I'd love to be able to run like The Flash. That would be all right, we're going
to
have
to do another podcast on superpowers. Yeah. I think
we could go all day.
All right, so we've talked about how you've sort of overcome some of the cultural challenges. Are there any other challenges that you faced in as far as dealing with staff or, you know, certainly recruiting the right staff?
It is hard, particularly where we find ourselves at the moment. Our culture and our team get on really, really well, and we are unfortunately going to lose one of those team members for a short period of time. And to try and find somebody to replace that is going to be very challenging and very difficult, because everybody gets on so well, and there's lots of laughter and lots of love.
Wildly inappropriate comments.
Yes. Not when any clients are listening or I'm nearby, but yes, when the phones aren't ringing, there are a few inappropriate comments. But it's good because everybody has the ability to have a laugh, and it's very relaxed. But to try and find, I guess, not the perfect piece, but the piece that fits into that little puzzle whilst we have one of our team members away is going to be particularly challenging.
Mm.
And then that person will then leave while the other person comes back. So
yep.
It is, I guess, the biggest thing is making sure other people's personalities all get along, and making sure you can put out any fires that come up day to day, like, well, somebody said this about me and I didn't like that. So you sort of have to be a bit of a firefighter and put out those little spot fires as they come. But we don't find that happens as often anymore.
It very rarely happens now at all. Generally, if there's a problem, the problem is raised pretty much straight away with the person then and there. We don't usually have to get involved much.
Mm.
And all of the girls in the office especially are aware that if they make a mistake, they want somebody else to bring them up on it, because they want to be aware that they've made a mistake so they can do something to fix that in the future.
Yep.
So the culture we've got in the office at the moment is absolutely fantastic.
That's great. But having known you guys for a while now, I know that in the past you have had some issues.
Some pretty significant ones, yes.
Talk to me about those in terms of the conflict that has occurred in the office and how you've dealt with that.
Well, we had one lady in the office many years ago now, but she was telling us that the jobs she was supposed to be responsible for were being done, but unfortunately those jobs weren't being done. And perhaps we should have been a little bit more on top of this. We should have been checking a little bit more vigilantly, but we weren't. And as a result, the job that should have been done, that was worth probably about 30% of our business, wasn't being done at all for the better part of about 6 months. And that hurt us financially very, very significantly. We also found that there was a lot of sort of back talk and very much he said, she said kind of thing in the office, specifically based around this one person. And as a result, when we did finally get around to the disciplinary process, everything started going pear-shaped. Because we'd not written any of this down. We should have. We should have written this down. But we hadn't really written any of this down.
I guess that's the biggest thing that small businesses face, is that you don't, like you said before, we do have many hats and we do play many roles. So making sure that, you know, you're covering everything does sometimes become difficult at times. Or, you know, I've had this conversation with this person just casually, I've got to make those notes. So it does become very difficult. But I guess the biggest thing that we've learned from previous conflicts or just previous little hiccups that we've had in the business is that it's very easy to put the blame on somebody else, but a very wise person that I know shared a Chinese proverb with me that for every finger that you point at somebody else, three fingers point back, which is the shape that your fingers, when you point at somebody, your other three fingers are pointing back at yourself.
Of course, yeah.
So when you say, oh, you know, so-and-so did whatever, is that because something that you didn't, you know, explain it enough, or you didn't monitor it enough? So I guess moving forward, it's now good to incorporate that into our thinking.
Yes.
So just to think, okay, well, before we say, you know, you did this and it's all your fault, what could we have done better to be able to help that down the line? So it's all a very steep learning curve, but you pick up these things on the way, and
Yeah, and like you said, you know, when you are running a small business and you're performing the functions of, you know, general manager, health and safety coordinator, HR manager, and goodness knows what else, it is very difficult to keep those processes that need to be in place to ensure that disciplinary action is taken and not the correct documentation is there to support you when or if you need to let somebody go at any stage. How have you kind of dealt with that in your roles, and have you found solutions to that?
In the past, not well, which is probably one of the reasons that things started to snowball with this particular team member that we had issues with. And that issue repeated itself probably about a year later. And again, it was a personality thing. The person was never going to work for the organisation, but they were before we'd had control of the business, essentially. Once we'd had control of the business, a lot of changes were being made. Those changes weren't necessarily received very well by these people. And it was basically a situation where they were never going to work for the business, and we had to figure out, essentially, how we're going to go from there. And the reality is we went to a lawyer to basically draft up the disciplinary... what's the word I'm looking for?
Warning.
Yeah, disciplinary warning. And everything snowballed from there. They immediately then contracted a lawyer of theirs to... And it's never what we wanted. It snowballed, and it got kind of out of control. So we've taken very much a step back from that process, in that anything that we have an issue with, we will generally raise straight away. We don't let it fester. We don't start taking absolutely finite notes on it so we can bring it to the person and say, this is where you've screwed up, these are the dates, all of these sorts of things. We raise it with the person straight away, straight out in the open, no more problem, we can move on from there and try and fix it.
Yeah, and I guess with our interviewing technique as well, where we now we still look for skills, but personality is where we're looking to make sure that that person's going to fit. So we've found with the team that we have at the moment that that's not as much of a problem now. Like, everybody makes mistakes. We're not looking for robots. I mean, both of us make our own mistakes as well. So
many mistakes.
You can't expect that people just don't make mistakes, and you have to put some kind of realism into that process.
Yeah.
But it's where you see consistent mistakes that becomes a problem. But, you know, now our process is to just have a chat about that. And we have a very casual work environment. As you guys know, you've been into our office a couple of times. So
yeah, your IT guy was in there
with no shoes on.
Was pretty cool.
He does have very large feet, so maybe he just can't buy shoes, who knows. But we try to, I guess the problem that we had with, like AJ mentioned, with the lawyer, is we then had this letter that was very lawyer speak, and it was very to
very
the point,
official looking,
very official, and
probably quite terrifying for anyone receiving it.
Yeah. And that's never been our particular way that we like to do with it.
And
so
everything escalated from there. And that's not what we wanted. It had the exact opposite effect that a warning should have.
Yep.
So.
But you've learned from it.
We have.
You certainly have, yeah.
Yes.
And you've now got a great team.
We do.
And I guess it's a matter of retaining that team now, isn't it, too? Because people do move on.
Yes.
Some of them give birth.
That's right.
That's why we're losing a team member shortly. How dare
that's
she?
Okay.
Oh, she's a lovely lady. We'll be very sad to see her go, but she does want to come back. So we'll really see her in a year's time.
Very lucky to have her.
So yeah, I mean, what sort of things are you doing, I guess, to ensure that people like that do come back and that people like the good people stay?
So we are very, I guess, not cautious, but we're very aware of the team environment that we have. Because as we mentioned before, if you walk in and it's very uncomfortable, people aren't going to want to come to work. But now it's not like that. There's lots of laughter. We have all of our team get a paid day off for their birthday, and they can take that at any time in the year. So if their birthday falls on a Saturday and they want to have a long weekend one weekend, they just say, oh, that's my birthday day, and they have a day off, which we find people love. Not everybody takes their birthday. Actually, I'm not sure any of the team take their birthday. They'll just take it sometime in the year.
That suits them. Yeah.
Yeah. And we also have a hump day every Wednesday. So on hump day, we...
Know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
We have a coffee from the cafe and just chill out for morning tea, and they usually give us some muffins as well. So it's not just all about the long-term rewards for the team. It's about showing our appreciation on a more continuity kind of level.
The other night we took them all out to dinner and shouted them, and just as a way to say thank you for being who they are. And family comes first, so anybody needs any time off, basically for anything that's family oriented, they get it. One of our team members had to disappear up to Cairns for a week and a half because her son was having issues. So it's not a problem, take the time off, we'll cover all bases.
Yeah, and that can be a scary prospect in a small business environment, because losing one person is a big impost sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think that having that sort of attitude towards your staff, allowing acknowledging that they have a life outside of their work, I think generates such loyalty, doesn't it?
I think Richard Branson said it says, don't take care of your clients, take care of your staff, and your staff will take care of your clients. And that's very much the approach that we look at. So if we take care of them, they will be an exponent of our business.
Yep.
They'll be happier, they'll speak to the clients, and they'll be able to do everything we need them to do without having to get us to push them into it.
The other big thing is the business, before AJ and I purchased the business, it's always been a family business, and we have a family, so it's very hard to say to somebody, or you have a family issue that they found out halfway through the day, no, you can't go, you have to stay. So if that happens with either of us and any of our family, then it's a two-way street. If we have to go, then they'll cover for us. If they have to go, we'll cover for them. So it's easier that way in the long run to give them that flexibility.
So many other organisations don't do it.
Yeah.
If you've got a family problem, it's basically suck it up, you've still got to come to work.
That's right.
And that's not the way we want it to play. We've both worked in that environment many years in the past, and it's not something we want to do to anybody.
No, and I really think that, modern HR practice is to give people that flexibility.
Yeah.
I know, for instance, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, they're allowing their staff to work several days a week from home now. Mm. In the big cities, they realise that commuting is a huge stressor on staff.
Yeah.
So if they're able to stay at home and work from home several days a week, obviously that's going to increase their productivity overall, minimise stress leave and all of that sort of thing, and certainly they're going to have a happier and more loyal workforce at the end of the day. And that's a massive organisation. I think it's really brave as a small business to be doing that as well, because it's showing that you're moving with the times, and that you're thinking outside the box a little bit.
Flexibility is one of those big things that you see in really large startups like Google, for example. They come whenever they want, they work their time, and in that particular organisation you don't find that many people that take advantage of that, because they love going to work and they love what they do. They give them their Fridays to work on their own projects. So it's great if you're looking at a massive organisation like Google. It's easy to do that because they have a lot of, they've got more staff to fill. But in a small business, it is hard. But then at the same time, it's the people's well-being that's matter. It's their mental health, their family. They've got stuff going on before they come to work. So you have to be able to take that into consideration and give them as much support for that as you can.
That's right. And if you don't want that staff turnover and that horrible job of recruiting every 5 minutes, then I think it's a really good way to go about things.
Yeah. It's estimated it cost up to about $42,000 to get a new staff member, with retraining and the time it takes you to go through interviews and all of the resumes and things. $42,000 is a pretty significant amount of money to a small business.
Mm.
So it pays to keep the ones that you've got that you like.
Absolutely. If you've got a good team, hold on to them for dear life.
Yes.
And you have to protect, make sure that they're not burning out, that if you do have somebody really fantastic, that you're not burning their candle at both ends and not giving them the time off that they need and not giving them overload of work. So you sort of, it's a slippery slope, but you kind of have to balance it out.
Yeah. So what happens with you guys? I think, you talk about burning the candle at both ends, and you're aware of that for your staff. What about for yourselves?
Basically, we take the time when we can get it. We usually have a couple of sort of short little holidays a year if we can get them. This is disappearing off to New Zealand with her mum for 11 days without the kids, and I'm looking after the kids, so she gets a little bit of chill out time, which she's going to need, otherwise we will eventually get the burnout. I go for a boys weekend every year, usually during winter, just with mates, 3 or 4 days usually, and that's my chill out time.
It is hard though, especially being a small business with a family where you do wear many hats within the business. If you take that person out, then who's wearing those hats when you're not there? And I guess the thing that we find is if that people are away or people are sick because we are a small business, you then become that filler. Yes. So then you've got your 3 or 4 hats that you're currently wearing, and then you're wearing another hat. So, but you've just, as a small business, you've just kind of got to suck it up and keep moving on. And when the time comes for a break, then you take that time when it's there. But it is one of those things. We try to have little times every fortnight where I'll take a little bit of time on an afternoon, or AJ might take an evening with the kids, and we kind of swap everything around. But I guess the big thing for us in particular is that we are a husband-wife team. So if, for example, we take a holiday, that's 2 people out of the business.
That's right. That's what we've found as a husband and wife team ourselves, is that you can never really drop it.
Yes.
For that reason.
Yeah. And it takes, so 2 out of 9 or 10, that takes a significant impact. So that's the hardest thing, that, you know, whilst everybody else has their own lives outside of work and they're not working with their partners, we don't have that.
The good news is that we have a fantastic team, and when we do head off together, they step up.
Yeah, they probably welcome it. They go, "You guys, we see how hard you work."
Well, we're quite lucky in that some of the team, if we are burning the candle at both ends and they can see how stressed and how tired we're getting, they force us to justify why we need to be in the office on any particular day. And if it looks like we're too tired, they will literally send us home.
Oh, that's terrific. I love it.
We have, our team now is very caring for not just for themselves, but also for each other. So we have a water monitor, and she makes sure that we're all drinking water, just herself.
All adequately hydrated.
Yeah, she's very much the mummy of the team. She's fantastic. Yeah.
So it's good to have that, you know, we all share recipes, and we're making sure that we're all eating well and resting. And if there's something that particular that we've found that's really beneficial for one of us, we usually share that. So we find like, oh, we found this great vitamin, or we found this great smoothie recipe, or a great dinner. We all bring that in and we share it around. So we're very caring of each other's well-being and our mental health for the whole team, and making sure that we're all being healthy and happy. And yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that's a marvellous example to be setting, because, you know, what a nurturing environment to work in. I mean, how many people can say they work in an environment that cares about not only their performance, but also their physical and emotional needs?
And it's not just that, we're also very caring of our environmental impact as well. So, and that's not something that a lot of big businesses can say. It's very hard to reduce their sustainability or reduce their carbon footprint. But that's something that we constantly work towards. And it's not just something that we want as the owners, but it's something that the team get behind as well. So they're not just caring about each other and how much water they're having during the day and how much food they're having during the day, but they're also caring about the food scraps that they bring in. If they can be recycled, we have a worm farm, so they're contributing to that, and then they can take anything from the worm farm, like the worm juice or the worm castings, back into their own environment at home, and to help build up their gardens and things. So it's not just us driving that particular thing. It's everybody driving,
everyone getting behind it.
Yeah,
well, that's fantastic. But it comes from the top, and I know, having known you guys well now, you know, you are very focused on that, and obviously that's filtering down and being a very good influence on everybody in the office.
It's something that you have to work on. If you don't put any input into it, it will stop. But you know, it's a conscious effort that we make to make sure that we're doing our part for the environment, and we're doing our part to care for each other and for the team. So,
yeah. Well, look, Liz and AJ from the National First Aid Training Institute, it has been amazing to talk to you today, and I think you've offered some great insights, particularly for small business owners, in how to manage their challenges with staff in the workplace. So thank you very much for your time today. I'll let you get back to your mountain of work.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, guys. Hope you enjoyed those insights from Liz and AJ from the National First Aid Training Institute. And if you're in Southeast Queensland and you're interested in safety or first aid courses for yourself or your staff, give the friendly and well hydrated team at Nifty a call on 07 5443 1966, or go to their website www.nfti.edu.au. Now, on the home front, we've got some exciting new HR manager-related resources available. One of them is a free ebook, Terminating Employment, A Quick Fact Guide. This is a handy little quick reference guide for employers dealing with a range of common termination-related issues. The aim of this guide is to sort of give employers an easy-to-refer-to resource when dealing with matters around termination, so to avoid the sort of common mistakes that lead to unfair dismissal claims. The guide covers subjects such as instant dismissal for serious misconduct, causal dismissal for underperformance, for example, redundancies, termination due to excessive absenteeism, and steps for ensuring fair dismissal, paying out notice, probationary dismissal, and much more. So the book is easy to read, and it's designed as a quick reference guide, so you can easily and quickly put your finger on the topic you're interested in. And best of all, it's free. So if you're interested, send us an email at admin@synergywi.com.au, and we'll send you your free copy. And another exciting resource our team is developing is an online magazine and LinkedIn forum for HR managers and business owners around everything to do with people management. HRHQ magazine is currently in development and will be available for online viewing by early next year. And the HRHQ LinkedIn forum is up and running right now, so go and check it out. The philosophy behind the forum in particular is to provide HR managers with a place to go to share their stories and ideas, maybe even to vent at times, respectfully of course. The forum, it's more about giving HR professionals a chance to share their experiences, their thoughts, support each other through the tough bits, and also for their, where they can celebrate their achievements. So sort of like your Facebook timeline, but work-related. So let's face it, your friends aren't always interested in hearing about your latest onboarding project and all the problems around it. So that's where the forum comes in. And it's only open to HR professionals, so there's no product spruiking or business consultants trying to lecture you, just your peers sharing and caring, really. I feel like I should be saying namaste and peace to you all right now. To find the forum, go to LinkedIn and search for Human Resources Headquarters, and you'll find the group there, and you can just join up. And obviously, once you're approved as a member, you can start posting anytime, anywhere, whenever the mood strikes you. So anyway, some exciting new resources there for HR professionals. So remember, email admin@synergywi.com.au for your free copy of the ebook, Terminating Employment, A Quick Fact Guide. And check out the Human Resources Headquarters on LinkedIn forum for HR professionals. Well, that's all for this time round. See you next time.